You missed it live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. This is Kaya Biz.
Kaya Biz.
With Gubule Tumfuphi
on kaya959.
On the street.
On the air.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959, and we're picking up on a significant story, one that might not be new news, but it has been in the pipeline for quite some time, but still is of significance to you and I as South African customers who typically require banking services and, of course, do so with institutions that we trust. But Old Mutual is the latest bank to have received the go-ahead from the Reserve Bank's Prudential Authority to officially launch Old Mutual Bank, subject to certain conditions. And we thought we'd touch base with David Shapiro, Chief Investment Strategist at Sasfin Wealth, to help us just contextualize the banking environment in South Africa, the competition, the metrics of this particular move from Old Mutual, and of course, understanding what this might look like from an investment point of view. David, always a pleasure to touch base with you, and thank you for making time.
With pleasure. Lovely to be here.
Fantastic. I guess first things first, Old Mutual opening up a bank, this is definitely not new. They did it a few years ago, even launching black cards at some point to really attract the retail market. Second time lucky. Do you think that this is a step in the positive direction?
Initially I was a bit cynical. Oh, I said, another bank, Discovery Bank, Time Bank. You know, what did you call it? Bank Zero. All these different bank. You know, everybody wants to be a banker. And I just said, you know, I couldn't understand the reason they're doing it. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized how well placed they are to make this work. Mm-hmm. And I think, Google, if I can get straight to it, my thinking about it, I thought, if you look at Old Mutual, it's probably one of the largest institutions. I don't want to measure institutions because I don't know how you're going to measure it. But I think if you consider Old Mutual, the number of customers they have, the number of salespeople they have that go out there every day selling policies, whether it's an investment policy, a funeral policy, whatever they do, they've got soldiers on the ground. And I thought, today we fintech. That when I started doing banking, when I first joined the market I did articles in 1969, you know, I was at Standard Bank Small Street and I knew the bank manager and I used to go down there. There was much more of a personal relationship. Every Saturday when your checkbook was finished, you'd go get another checkbook. You don't do that anymore. You know, we don't do that anymore. Everything we do is on our phone, on our smartphone or on an iPad. And people have lost that loyalty. Mm. And it's all about the products and the services. And when I think about fintech as we've given, I'm trying to give it a name, it's so much easier now to have one stop. You know, in other words, I'm seeing it myself I still bank with Standard, but I use Shift. I use all different applications. And I thought, hold on, you know, once you sell them a product, you're going to get them to deposit money. You're going to be able to keep them.
Gotcha.
And I think the benefit is that Old Mutual have got those people. Mm. They can send emails out to I don't know how many millions of people around the country.
Got you.
You know, I thought, okay, not a bad idea.
And now that you're putting
they've
it that way.
They've got a good chance.
Exactly. Now that you put it that way, it actually contextualizes how competitive they could be against the likes of Capitec, which many have alluded to, as well as Time Bank, which operate in the same price segment that they're looking to tap into, the middle income a group of South Africans. Mm. But the resilience of this consumer base as well remains a concern here, David, right? Credit impairments have gone up, affordability is a concern.
Yes.
And of course, there's a heightened level of appetite for credit. So how do you see them playing this out from an operational point of view?
Well, I think they'll play it safe. You know, they're going to get deposits first. I'm not sure how they're going to launch it, but I can understand where they're heading for. Discovery thought the same thing, but Discovery's customers are higher level.
Mm.
These are lower level, which I think makes them a lot more, I don't want to say vulnerable, but a lot more accessible.
Mm.
They're accessible to deals. They're accessible to saving costs and everything. And I think when you've got a mailing list as big as Old Mutual's, you know what? You can do well. When you've got that, you know, when you've got access to people like that, it's so much easier to bring them on board. It's so much easier to offer them something. So I think they've got a good, it'll take a few years. Yeah. I was saying something about, I say something about discovery. It's at a much higher level, whereas this is at a much lower level. And I think they're easily able to add clients all the time. You know, they'll make offerings. In the past, they were with Nedbank. You know, they couldn't do it through Nedbank. They couldn't do this through Nedbank. The Nedbank was a branch. Oh, sorry, before we, I know what I was going to say. Every time you wanted a bank branch, you used to have to build a structure. You know, you'd have to put bricks and mortars and lay carpets and have interview rooms. You don't need to do that anymore. People don't bank that way anymore. So I think there's a good chance that this can be successful, and I can see where they're heading.
Definitely. Yeah. You mentioned fintech and this leaner operating environment for banks to actually cut on the CapEx expenditure. We see it with Time Bank. They don't have any branches, recently turned profitable. Discovery Bank is still headed that way. But they both were earning and climbing in terms of a profitability. I'm keen to understand, you look at the investment metrics of banks and how do you evaluate the return on equity, the credit impairments, the capital adequacy ratios, all the intelligent investment lingo that you look at. How do you, I guess, view and evaluate which banks still lead the charge in terms of great investment opportunities?
To be honest, at the moment, for banks to prosper, they need a very strong underlying environment. Banks prosper in good economic conditions because what happens when the economy is strong, deals are done, companies expand, they buy equipment. It's around issues like that. People do more transactions. In this kind of environment, you're lending to people who are going to use that money to survive. You know, they're not, business is not doing anything. Businesses are not expanding. And that's why I'm quite skeptical about our banks are very well run. I don't take anything away from them. If you look at the results of the banks, they're very, very solid. That's because they're not lending, you know, because they're scared to lend because of the conditions that you say so. But I say the same thing in the United States. Until we get good economic growth, banks are just going to bumble along. You know, they're just going to bumble along, giving you fairly decent results, but nothing exceptional. You want people to be prosperous. You want them to be, to not prosperous. You want them to want to expand their businesses. That's when banks and financial services businesses do well. But I think just to quickly go back to Old Mutual, I think they're looking for this. You know, they're saying, okay, you know, let's get ourselves in position. When economic conditions improve, yes, we can go out and really start selling in a big way. So, yeah, look, it's not easy to be a bank here. And we don't know the profitability of Discovery. We don't know the profitability of a number of other businesses. I just want to add one point. Sorry if I'm talking too much.
Go ahead.
Capitec.
Yes.
Why was Capitec so successful? Because when APSA was formed, I think Bank of Boerland and all these kind of assets were just discarded. And management picked up, said, here's a wonderful opportunity. We have this incredible computer system that we have. We don't have to, we're going to have small little branches that are technologically ahead of our competitors. We don't have to build marble pillars or anything like that. So if you look at the history of Capitec, it was made because they weren't dragged down by legacy branches or legacy issues. And their computer system was so well advanced, they didn't have to kind of, you know, join join plugs or do anything like this. They were able to expand rapidly without too much investment in IT.
True.
It's still their strength. It's still their strength.
That's intriguing to hear, David. And you're mentioning a very valid point, because even when we think of the story of Capitec, came out of PSG, independently listed, and now has even improved on its product suite and offering to customers. There's a time, though, in South Africa where we saw a lot of consolidation of the banks. As you mentioned this, I'm thinking Volkskas, and I'm way too young. I just remember my dad having a checkbook of that, by the way. And then Barclays and APSA. And since then, there's been this unbundling. Could we ever get to a point where there's just too many banks in South Africa and consolidation will have to take over?
I think there are too many already. I think everybody's fighting for space. It's who's going to survive. You know, obviously the big ones, Nedbank, APSA, First Rand, Investec and that have got a very, very strong, solid basis in that. And I think they'll always end up, it's the fight for those peripheral banks, you know, the Discoveries, how they're going to do in time and all of those. There are a lot of banks, you know, and I think time will tell. But one thing about the banking sector has been very well managed.
Yep.
You know, the two areas, Reserve Bank, and Treasury, you know, standalone. I still think they are very solid institutions in South Africa. You know, in an area in where most other institutions are kind of crumbling, coming out of pressure, they remain really well run and very proud of them. Our financial system's strong. I mean that. You know, the stock exchange, even though it's battling a bit, you know, with smaller listing, it's still well run and still well managed in that. And so from that point of view, our capital markets are very well run and very well managed, you know, capital markets meaning our bond markets and that.
And I think
so I think from that point of view, we stand above a lot of countries in this world.
I was about to ask that because you've actually witnessed a lot of crises. Last year, it was all about Silicon Bank. We also saw some pressure points, if I'm not mistaken, from UBS in Europe and many others that you typically observe. So as we wrap up with David, to the average South African consumer like you and I, who might be questioning if they should open up another bank, if their money will be safe, maybe let's just underscore how competitive we are in comparison to our global counterparts.
I would sign up with a big bank, you know, and I think Old Mutual, which is what we're talking about now, they've got a solid balance sheet. They've been around 150, nearly 200 odd years.
Yeah.
And the one thing about the bank, it will be well capitalized. So, I've changed my tune a little bit. I was just brushing it aside. And the more I think about it, I think they're in a good position. You know, I'd like to have a mailing list of, I don't know, 2 million odd, 3, 4, 5 million. There must be more than that that we can tap into and offer very good products. And also, depending on how strong our computer systems and how strong that is, because that's going to be the big difference in that. Yeah.
Definitely. So, yeah. David, always a pleasure speaking to you and truly appreciate your insight today.
Pleasure. Thank you. Lovely to see you again.
Likewise. That's David Shapiro joining us as the Chief Investment Strategist at Sasfin Wealth.
And if you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.